Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Gary Smith.
Gary, welcome to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, and welcome to all the listeners and those of you who are watching on our YouTube channel. This is a very special Saturday edition, always looking out to be as fresh as possible, right, Gary?
Absolutely. We're recording this one right at noon, and it'll be up as fast as I can get all the videos ready and everything.
Exactly. Brought to you by Oklahoma Smokes. I'm still waiting for Awesome Dawson to do the Oklahoma Smokes ad, but maybe that'll be next Thursday or something like that. We teased on Thursday when I was in the studio with Adam, maybe talking about a story of somebody I know, which is always a tragedy, and somebody who's been kind of a figure in Los Angeles for quite a while. I'll let Gary tell you about it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a story I've actually talked to Mark about covering for a few weeks now. My wife has been bugging me to no end because she is a normal, average American woman in her 30s. She likes some shows on Bravo. She doesn't watch every single one. She's not letting it consume her life. But she watches some stuff, and she follows that Bravo-verse, so to speak. And there's been some legal news in that sphere with Erica Jane, who many who watch that show would know as a last few years, at least, member of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And she goes under Erica Jane as a musician and a performer and whatever, but her full name is Erica Jane Girardi, and she is married to famed attorney Tom Girardi, who I'm sure in our audience, a lot of people know him from a lot of cases, but in the broader audience of America, he would probably be best known as the attorney behind Aaron Brockovich, right?
Right, that's correct. And although I think if we ever had Aaron on, she'd probably tell you that there was another lawyer involved who the in the case, at least, or in the movie, was more, if it was a composite character, was more linked to him than to Tom. But Tom has had a series of unfortunate and now really tragic kinds of events that have occurred recently. I mean, started with and you can get into the weeds on it, but started with a case, the Boeing crash, and out of Illinois, there his local counsel, the Edelson firm, started to file documents there with a federal judge, indicating that he had basically dipped his pen into the client trust account, so to speak, and that people were not getting paid, and then that led to his lawyer making a statement that he was basically the old legal term non compos mentis, but basically he was incompetent. There was a referral to the U.S. attorney that has then triggered all kinds of other actions. I think he's now filed, or the firm has filed for bankruptcy. All of the lawyers have left, and his brother, I think, is now his conservator. And it's a epic fall for somebody who for many years was probably one of the most well-known plaintiff's lawyers in California, and had a national footprint as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's his career was not unblemished before this. He had had some allegations over the years of clients who were displeased in how they were paid out, or, you know, discrepancies, not necessarily 100% clear bookkeeping with certain clients. And, you know, so this wasn't the first, but the case you're referring to is that 2018 case, the Lion Air Flight 610, which originated out of Jakarta and was bound for somewhere else in Indonesia, but went down after about 15 minutes. And that was the first very significant loss of life in one of those Boeing 737 MAX aircrafts that subsequently there was another big crash, and then they grounded them for a couple of years. So yeah, it's a tragic story. But what I'd like to talk about, you know, the lawsuits are proceeding, and presumably they are attempting to get some of those victims in Indonesia some of the money they are owed. Hopefully all of it, but we're just going to have to sort of see how that plays out. But the interesting part that I've been hearing about a lot in my household is sort of the other side of this, the Erica Jane, Real Housewives. What did she know? When did she know? When did they file for divorce? And what does that date mean in relationship to this case, and how they're trying to protect assets and stuff like that. And the Bravoverse, you know, is not without their investigative sleuths as well, you know, women who spend a little bit more time than my wife on this. And they have figured out that, you know, although Erica is portraying on the show that she didn't know about this until X date, she had been served twice before. That is on record with the LA County court system. So she absolutely did know about this. And just what about this sticks out to you where this is playing out in the media and they're attempting to sort of, you know, obfuscate or change the narrative?
Well, look, I'm not in the weeds on the in the Bravo sphere, but I know that there's previously been fallouts from that in other series with other actresses slash reality stars who been investigated and usually financial improprieties. You know, in this case, if you believe what you read, there were transfers of funds and the trust account was, for lack of a better term, not reconciled or and some serious allegations involved here. And as you know, I always say, you know, let's not prejudge, but at the same time, some of the stuff that's come out has is very troubling and is very disturbing in terms of if you believe that there were tens of millions of dollars that were funneled to another corporation that benefited Erica Jayne, then you're in the bankruptcy court. And I'm by no means an expert in bankruptcy, but there are things that you can do if you've got a trustee who's motivated to kind of follow up where the funds went to. You know, she could be. There's innocent spouse style defenses to things. And for all she knows, it was just a disgruntled client. Tom would not be, and any lawyer would not be the first person to have disgruntled clients. You can't please everybody all of the time. But it appears now that there was, and it, you know, Edelson, which was the local counsel in the Lion Air, has gone so far as to accuse him, the Girardi and the firm, of running basically a Ponzi scheme, that they were involved in this litigation funding, which is one of the kind of dirty secrets, if you will, in plaintiff's work, where I've seen this happen quite a bit, where the litigation funders get their hooks into a plaintiff's lawyer, and then you go into a kind of a default interest situation. And before you know it, the lawyer or the firm can't keep up with the payments and it blows up. And it sure looks like from the outside looking in that that's a theme to this as well.
So that was going to be that dovetails nicely, not to steal a term from Adam, into my next question about that Edelson case. I was sent something that I read where he is now going after the two lieutenants beneath Girardi, and he is trying to get them on the hook financially for these settlements, because he's basically saying, you know, even though you're claiming not to have been partners, that's a little murky. You've been there forever and you were giving us information leading us to believe everything was okay. And it wasn't until we got to this later date where we realized everything wasn't okay. And if you had not misled us in the 3 to 5 months before that, we would have known to go after this faster and possibly could have recovered some of the money before it was moved, yada, yada, yada. What do you think the chances are that those two lower level lieutenants could become liable for the damages here?
Well, the two people you're referring to, one is David Lira, who I don't know, but I know by reputation, and he's got a fine trial lawyer. And I think at one point, I don't know if he still is, was married to, it was Tom's son-in-law.
Yes.
May still be. And then the other is another lawyer who's got a fine reputation, Keith Griffin, I believe is
correct.
His name. Also, I don't know him except by reputation. I don't, you know, I understand that Edelson is making, you know, is filing pleadings where they're making all kinds of accusations, things like that. You know, it's, there's, you know, there, I can see arguments on both sides. I just don't know. I don't know enough about it. And I always, when there's somebody making accusations in a filing, I think you have to take it with a little grain of salt, because everybody has got their own axe to grind in these things. It's going to be up to a judge or it's going to be up to a prosecutor at some point to kind of sort it out. I do think, however, that that Bravo has got themselves a tiger by the tail in this story, because I think this thing is going to unfold and keep going. I think there's layers to this in terms of the money movements.
Yeah, I think you're right. I absolutely do. And those will be moves that we cover and watch here and keep up with on Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, as well as the main show.
Right, exactly, exactly. And we're going to have your wife giving us updates. We may have to have her as the in-the-field reporter giving us Real Housewives updates. Is this the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Is
correct. That That's okay. the one she appears
who else
on.
Who else is on that right now? Who is the current cast, do you know?
I feel like this is a test, and I'm not going to fall for that trap. No, I don't know. I think Kyle Richards might be on it, and maybe the Hilton mother pops in from time to time. Those are the names that stick out to me. I don't know. I don't watch with her.
Well, it would appear that you're always getting into some kinds of drama, and this would seem to be tailor-made for it. Like I say, it's unfortunate because knowing some of the people involved and their reputations, you hate to see stuff like this happen. At least I do. At the same time, you don't want to, messing with the client trust account, as the judge in Illinois said, is ethics 101. I mean, that's sacrosanct. You don't screw around with the client trust account.
Absolutely. And to Mr. Lira and Griffin, I was talking more in the abstract about the legal theory. I have no idea, and I don't mean to say anything to sully your names.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, we'll report when I assume they're going to file something in response to Edelson, and yeah, we'll report it and give it the same amplification, because, part of the reasonable doubt mantra is anybody can throw mud. We try to wash it off and see what's really behind it.
Absolutely. And we will be back to do that with Beyond Reasonable Doubt on our regular schedule this week, Tuesday and Thursday, with The Best Hour in the Universe coming on Saturday as regularly scheduled.
Thank you very much. And thank you to Oklahoma Smokes for keeping us up and running. Right, Gary?
Absolutely. Thanks, okay. Mark.
Thanks,
bye.
Gary.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.